Stabilis Exchange in Reading is nationally recognized and provides the training and education that will prepare you for a career in the construction trade. According to the United States Department of Labor, electricians will be one of the top 20 fastest growing occupations over the next decade. Trade School offers an electrical trainee program accredited by the National Center for Construction Education and Research. The program has been an industry leader for over 10 years and is authorized by the state of California. The electrical trainee program is now accepting applications. This program offers evening courses to allow you to work during the day in your field of study. This program provides hands-on training and graduates finish at the journeyman level. You're one of the few state-registered electrical trainees who are legal to work in Northern California. All enrollments are on a first-come, first-served basis. Classes are filling quickly. Don't wait. Enroll now. To learn more about the electrical training program at the trade school at the Shasta Builders Exchange, call 222-1917 or email training at shastabe.com.
Electrical orientation and registration is October 29th. Call Shasta Builders Exchange today.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Rich Novelli, President and CEO of Wellgate Sports Club. Rich is going to tell us how to prepare for this upcoming holiday season, how to keep from gaining too much weight, and eat the right food. Also, Christmas at the Cascade. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Yes, it's Sunday once again, and today is October 25th. We're almost in November. Amazing, isn't it?
Scary.
Scary.
Yeah. We're not going to say how many days till like Christmas.
Yeah, I know. We're only like, what, 8 weeks out or something?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. They're already putting all the Christmas stuff at Costco up.
Got the time change coming up pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, on the first.
On the second, I thought. It was first, okay. First, second. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever,
right in
whatever
there,
it is. Yeah. So,
first Sunday of November?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's coming up. Anyway, you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I am Mark Kent, and I am again your host once again on Sunday, October 25th, 2015. And I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who's getting up.
Good morning.
And had to jump back there to get on the radio. And I've also got Red Smith in here with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Red and Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
We are streaming worldwide. If you haven't noticed, I have a little touch of something. I'm not sure what, but I'm feeling a little under the weather.
I'm not going to say.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, you're listening to KCNR 1460, and this is you can go to the chat room or call in. The chat room's at KCNR1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. to 2570 South Bonneville at Destiny Fellowship, and I believe we're having
Paul Preston
on Monday.
Yeah.
Tea Party, excuse me. Tea Party stands for Limited Government Fiscal Responsibility and Inheritance to the Constitution. I told you I was under the weather
yeah.
a little bit there.
It happened.
Man. Jefferson State of Mind, you've been listening to from 8 to 9,
mm-hmm.
Right before us. And a lot of things going on with Jefferson State of Mind. Also, we highly recommend that you go to the Shasta Lantern at ShastaLantern.com and see what's going on there. As usual, the news that nobody else will talk about is, you know, or just ignores or blacks out or that type of stuff. Because I'll tell you what, when you look around what's going on in the media these days, it's like it's not hard to cop an attitude towards them because they're doing everything in their power to keep us uninformed or
ill-informed.
Yeah, misinformed.
Yeah. They're good at it, too.
So, I don't know, we might have a guest this morning.
We're supposed to. We're having a hard time touching base. Yeah. You know, it happens once in a while with people.
We were hoping for Linda Payne. Excuse me, Linda Payne from the Election Integrity Project about 10 o'clock, but have not been able to get a call back to confirm that.
Maybe that's it right there.
Maybe that's the call back there.
You know, that's the way it works in radio sometimes, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you're a winner and sometimes you're a loser.
Well, there's always a lot of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we
was that Old Spice guy calling?
That's my email notification.
So it seems like, we'll just move right ahead and see what happens. A lot of stuff going on. I mean, we had the Wicked Witch on being deposed on Thursday, I guess it was, and she's just like a shark with dull eyes and black, you know, no feeling.
No.
At this point, what does it matter?
Yeah, what does it matter? Yeah. You know, there was some stuff that came out in that testimony that was kind of different and big, even though the media is downplaying it. I mean, the fact that she absolutely knew that the video that they tried to blame this on was, you know, not the cause or, you know, what was responsible for the attack on Benghazi. The fact that she knew it came out clearly in her correspondence with the head of Egypt, the prime minister of Egypt, I believe it was, and her own child, Chelsea. So, you know, that's new stuff. And we'll see what happens on that because that's out and out lying. And she was out and out lying, whether it was because of the suggestion from the Obama administration is something that we need to maybe look at a little more. But there's a lot of stuff that happened in that might come back to haunt her.
Yeah, wasn't there something like 250 requests for more security?
Well, the guy didn't even have her email address, according to her. I mean, he's not even been able to email the Secretary of State, and he's a foreign diplomat. He's ambassador to Libya, supposedly. And there was more. We could probably count the lies in there, but you know, there's lie after lie after lie after lie. Obvious lies, and she has absolutely no feeling of remorse or. You know, she talks, well, I lost a lot of sleep over this at night,
than all of you combined.
What about the families who lost a lot of sleep because their children were killed? You know, their brothers, their sisters, their husbands, you know.
Yeah, what about the people that were in the war zone over there during that, you know?
Well, again, you know, it's like, it's pretty disingenuous if you ask me, but we'll see what happens on that, on the whole thing.
Yeah, did you see where the Judicial Watch did a statement, Freedom of Information Act.
Yes.
And like 3 hours afterwards, they were contacting the YouTube to blame the video.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So
within 3 hours.
So why were they blaming the video is the next question. I mean, now it's obvious that they were blaming the video. And then what about the guy who went to jail that they prosecuted for the video? Some schmo that is, you know, doing a grade D movie that, you know, nobody even cared about, all of a sudden lands in jail.
Right.
You know, so it's typical of this regime, this bombastic, you know, out of control communist government, if you want to, you know, tell the truth. It's typical of them to go after and punish their enemies and reward their friends. I mean, they just let Lewis Lerner off the hook on the criminal prosecution. DOJ says they're not going to criminally prosecute Lewis Lerner now. Wow. I mean, so what do you have to do in order to get prosecuted or lose your seat? Well, nothing, evidently, unless you're a conservative, I guess.
Yeah, and where's our sergeant of arms at? Why isn't he involved in arresting these individuals.
Well, they should be, you know, but, you know, this is going to march on until it comes to its conclusion. And, you know, with the debt ceiling happening and, you know, all that's going on in the economy, it's coming to a head. There's no question about it. We've got the debt ceiling getting ready to be raised, even though we've already breached it. I mean, I've got an article here in front of me. The U.S. debt ceiling has risen no matter who is in office. I'm looking at a chart of, you know, it actually rose almost as fast under Bush as it did Obama.
Well, under the system of monetary system we have, you have to continue the debt ceiling.
Yeah, otherwise it destroys the whole system. That's the whole point. It's got to get to a point where it blows up at some point. And we've been, you know, since March 16th, we haven't raised the debt ceiling, but we've been spending the money. Now that's coming to a head here November 3rd.
Well, yeah, law of physics kind of plays in that part. You can only be on balance for so long before you tip over.
So
those laws of economics that don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist for us because we're special and different. We can print money till the cows come home, not raise interest rates for 8 years, you know, borrow money until, you know, there's no way to pay the interest even at zero interest rates. Because at some point in time, the whole thing explodes. So that's coming up, and it's all related here. But let's go to a break, and we'll come back and maybe reorganize our thought process here and figure out where we're going.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
From the moment you walk into Walgate Sports Club, you realize this is more than just a gym. You immediately notice the white glove cleanliness and the friendly, caring staff whose words and actions speak to the pride they have in making Walgate Sports Club Redding's premier lifestyle center. Walgate Sports Club promises an upscale experience with high-end amenities and programs including a complete state-of-the-art workout facility, educated and credentialed personal trainers and lifestyle nutrition coaches who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Walgate Sports Club features Redding's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Combine that with our complimentary lifestyle education workshops and member social events, and you'll see why at Walgate Sports Club you'll experience exceptional every day. Get out of the gym and into the club. Walgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way in Redding. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Walgate Sports Club, first-class fitness you have to see to believe.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Back, we're scrambling. Yeah, it's kind of one of those days.
Well, you just look at some of the headlines and you go, what the hell?
What the heck is going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not in the mainstream media. It's like, really?
Yeah, tell us that one you just had read about the...
Make sure that your kid's costume is not bigoted this year or your children will not be given candy at certain people's homes.
Yeah, I mean, okay, and what are the requirements that you're not, you know, if you're a pirate, you're what, you're...
It said that if you have a Indian costume, that's racist. If one of your children's dressed up as a soldier, you're promoting violence. If your daughter's dressed up like a princess, you're objectifying her, so no candy for her. If your child's dressed up as a pirate, you're promoting rape culture, so no candy for them. I think for the first time in years, I'm going to go trick-or-treating, except I'm going to be more heavily on the trick part.
go as a politician.
it's time to break out the rotten eggs and the toilet paper.
You just stand on the corner and steal everybody's candy.
Distribute the candy.
Yeah, while we're distributing, we're redistributing all the candy to me.
I'll go through the bag and decide which ones I want and who I want to give.
There's
going to
be there's going to be free cell phones. There's going to be two cars in every driveway. There's going to be two chickens in every pot. But I get all the candy.
Yeah, the little kids didn't work for that candy anyhow.
That candy. Oh man,
what insane!
It's insane. The insanity continues. And
who even came up with that? I want to slap him.
I know. Have you got that that clip on golf pulled up there, Bob, yet?
Hang on.
Yeah. I mean, here's more insanity. You know, when he gets it pulled up here, it's just, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that what happens when you get big out of control government in charge. I mean, all these people that think the government is going to fix it because we got this shining light on the hill now, Obama, all hell, you know, is insane. Okay, go ahead and play this, Bob, and this is for real.
And from now on, a round of golf could mean a term in jail for members of China's Communist Party. New rules have banned all 88 million party members from playing golf in a crackdown on corruption and high living. The party's anti-corruption office says that golf courses are where illegal deals get done and where officials spend time playing instead of working.
I know. I guess Obama didn't get the memo. Really? Okay, so that's how it's working over in communist China is, hey, if a couple of the Politburo guys get it together, they just say, hey, no more golf. You don't like golf. You know, you don't want to play golf.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be China. So, oh, you like golf? No.
No more deals on the golf course. That's no more right. Corruption on it. So.
You'll no longer be swinging the clubs. No, yes. That would be Germany, I guess. I mean,
the communists and the Nazis don't get along, even though they're both far leftists.
Right.
They don't really get along.
Well, that's always cracked. You hear that argument. The communists were fascists. That's far right. What?
No. They're leftists.
They were conservative and believed in freedom.
Yeah.
That's why everybody got to go to the ghetto and from there take a train ride to Auschwitz because they were worried about people's rights, huh?
Well, the Nazis were actually more far left than the communists. They killed the communists because the commies were too warm and fuzzy for them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. It's like ISIS killing Al Qaeda.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you know, the lesser of two. Well, wait a minute. It's hard to figure out which one's the lesser, you know? Yeah.
Evil is evil.
Well, that's it. You know, I got another email here, and this is Homeland Security links homeschoolers to terrorists.
I saw that.
And Homeland Security and the Transformation of America. Let's see. This is an article by Brian Fisher. Obama's Christians threaten nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what? You know, I mean, so this is not an exaggeration. In a gathering at George Washington University this week, excuse me, Obama's Assistant Attorney General for National Security, John Carlin, revealed that the Justice Department is creating a brand new position just to monitor us. The position, Domestic Terrorism Council. So they're not calling them czars anymore. Now they're
council,
I guess. They've reverted because czar sounded so
Soviet. The old-fashioned name is actually Soviet.
Yeah, Soviet.
When you have an appointed board that has the authority to regulate and pass law. That's called the Soviet.
There you have it. So, good grief. The position will be created to combat the real and present threat of domestic terrorism. And they're not talking about Muslims or Al-Qaeda or ISIS or Mexican, drug-dealing cartels. They're talking about us, the Christian community. You know, does the threat come from the Muslim Brotherhood? No. Jihadists who are sneaking in the United States disguised as Syrian refugees? Nope, 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 nope. No, the threat to our national security, according to our president and his minions, is coming from the Family Research Council and the American Family Association. Carlin lauded the work of the thoroughly discredited Southern Poverty Law Center,
mm-hmm.
which is so blatantly and maliciously biased against Christian and other parts of Obama's administration. The FBI, the Pentagon, the U.S. Army are getting as far away from the SPLC as they can. Excuse me. You have to bear with me today, guys. My tickly throat. So what's he saying? You know, they're examining this threat, and so the threat is Christians, basically.
Well, the Department of Homeland, you know, every year they release a new list of people that are on their top priority watch list. Well, there's 72 groups that are on that watch list now, and the number three most concerned are Christian organizations.
Well, and they're talking about the public school establishment hates the homeschoolers. Well, the homeschoolers, most of them are people who believe in you know, something other than God, you know, being the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I was thinking about that on the way down here this morning. People have to realize why they have to move you away from God, whether you believe in God or not. But the reason that is that you won't have people stand up against the government. It's just, let's take, for example, the gal in Tennessee, I guess it was, against the gay marriage thing.
Kentucky.
Was it Kentucky?
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about, you know, the gay marriage issue as much as what I give a crap about is that if everybody who's on the payroll is not Christian, then they will never stand up for anything other than what the government tells them to do. I mean, here's a lady who looks at her belief system as being something other than handed down to her from some government crony. And so they won't go off and do whatever they're told, basically. And she's an example of it. Now, I'm not sure that I agree with her stance on the gay marriage thing as much as I'm saying, you know, who's going to stand up unless their beliefs are in line with something other than the government's mandates?
Well, that's and simply at the end of the day, the simplest solution to issues of this matter is, why is the government involved in the first place?
At all. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Why do we have to have permission?
Well, see, but that's the whole point. That's why they have to take away your religion. That's why in communist countries, you know, the first thing they do is attack the morality of everybody, because if they can get you away from, you know, answering to a higher authority other than them. Then they become God, basically. And, you know, they say atheists don't have believe in anything, but, you know, most of them believe in big government. Isn't that?
Well, it's, you know, the Constitution and our inalienable rights are granted to us by our Creator. So if the government can convince you there's no Creator, you have no rights.
Exactly.
Because there's no one to grant them to you.
And you can't think for yourself after that point. They will do all the thinking for you.
Well, and you can see it works very effectively. Look at some of these people. You could tell them that if Obama told them that the sky was never blue, they would go around campaigning that the sky's never blue. I mean, they don't look at anything other than what they're being told. I mean, it's insanity. You know, and again, I'm just generalizing across the spectrum here, but...
Hold on one second while I disturb our host.
Sure.
Okay.
And... you know, I'm looking at it on September 20th, the Department of Homeland Security sponsored a mock assault on a school bus. What? This is who is running the Department of Homeland Security. A fictitious terrorist who supposedly planted a bomb on a school bus were portrayed as a group of homeschooling radicals labeled wackos against schools and education, describing, you know, this is from the I don't know how you say that, the Muskegon Chronicle. Describe this, you can go to the Muskegon Chronicle and look this article up. Describe this unforgettable role-playing scenario dramatized by local students. Muskegon County officials wanted to be prepared in case the unthinkable happens here. Really? So Christian homeschoolers are going to rise up against the government? Well, you know something? Maybe they are, but why are they rising up? It couldn't be that they're being oppressed. It couldn't be that their freedom's at stake. But it's okay. We won't worry about the guys, the jihadists and the Muslims, because we really don't have a Muslim president who just come in, you know, because he's really a Christian, except that he protects all the Muslims and funds them and sends arms.
And the illegals that are coming over.
And so he wouldn't be lying about anything, would he?
No.
Well, see, I don't think Obama and those people are the end game. I think they're stage one, because... I really think we're watching the recreation of Nazi Germany, and right now we're still the Weimar Republic, and we're getting ready to collapse. It's the backlash that collapse is going to create that is going to see the rise to power of the Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why is Homeland Security officials sponsoring an emergency preparedness drill that paints homeschooling families as bomb-planting terrorists? That's the question you need
to
ask. That's the question you need to ask.
That's so insane.
Now, if they were running a drill that was, you know, against bomb-planning Muslim terrorists, okay, I get it. Because they actually plant bombs, okay? And we, you know, we're getting ready for a flood of them to come into the country, the jihadists. Look what they're doing in Germany right now. The insanity just absolutely continues. So, I don't know. Anyway, I couldn't get... past this story this morning. I just had to bring it up because it's like, you know, it's the dumb is getting, you know, you can't be this dumb to be this dumb, you know, or stupid. as Greg Hunter would say.
Stupid.
It's too stupid to be stupid. And so, you know, there's a report here entitled Homeschool Portrayed as Terrorists. And the Michigan's Homeschool Legal Defense Association, you know, added the following details. On Monday, September 20th, the Muskegon Chronicle reported on a Department of Homeland Security-sponsored terrorism drill involving Muskegon Intermediate School District and Muskegon County Emergency Services. A mock attack would occur on a public school bus, and the simulated attack would, you know, come from the wackos against the education. So there's more than one article on this. You just have to look these things up.
Yeah, because patriots are going to target school children.
Right.
Right. And then on the other side, there's this article from Judicial Watch that says schools ordered to help illegal aliens hold undocumented immigrant awareness day.
Yeah, undocumented.
I'm telling you, you can think I'm radical and crazy as much as you want. We are in early 1930s Germany, people. You look at the similarities, do your history, do your due diligence, and go and look. How many people ask the question, how did Nazi Germany ever happen? Well, go find out. Go look at the decade prior to the rise of the Nazis, and you're looking at America today.
Yeah, and under this it says, educators are instructed to withhold judgment and biases about immigration status, but they're going to attack the Christians as terrorists.
Yeah, because they believe in homeschooling and not, you know,
and think for themselves.
Think for themselves, and they believe in God, which our country was founded on, and not government as the all-seeing eye of,
right.
You know, of the purveyor of all wisdom. Unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let's go to a break, and then we'll come back.
All right. If you want to call in with a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the Nurse State.
Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from the.
I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These things of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Are you an artist, artisan, craftsman, or purveyor of fine goods?
Come be a part of Red Town Market,
Redding's new holiday tradition.
You'll have the opportunity to showcase your work and goods to thousands in our community.
There'll be live music, wine tasting, local coffee roasters, and vendors just like you, creating an amazing retail experience to kick off the holiday season. That's November 28th at the Redding Civic Auditorium.
Apply online at reddingcivic.com
or call 229-0036.
Red Town Market is a juried event. Vendors are considered independent contractors and are solely responsible for federal, state, and local laws regarding permits, sales tax withholding, reporting, and all other legal requirements.
Red Town Market, your new holiday tradition.
Tuesday, November 10th is the 240th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Please join the Marines of Shasta County at our celebration in the event center at Wind River. All Marines, other military branches, and friends of the Corps are invited. There will be a formal celebration and dinner. Our honored speaker is Major General O.K. Steele on Tales of the Old Corps. For reservations and further information, call Mike Gutierrez at 524-7595. See you Tuesday, November 10th. Semper Fi.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Time for a cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. Time out of my life, so free you
Yeah, we have several stories that we're going to talk about. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. We were just talking about the illegal immigration thing, and not the undocumented workers, because that would indicate that they were legal, but the illegal immigration registration of voters in California through the DMV, because if they give them driver's licenses, they automatically register them as voters. And, gee, I wonder which party that they register
exactly.
for. It's like, yeah, which party you want to be a member of? The party that give me the most stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's to me, the whole immigration system and what's going on is disgusting to me, because really what our government is doing is taking people that are many of them are seeking a better way of life, and instead of enabling them to do it the proper way, to become American citizens under full protection and color of the Constitution, they're setting up a second class of citizen that is beholden to the government, where the government enables their rights.
And yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's the illegal immigration's fault, the illegal immigrant's fault. I think it's directly responsible by the government crony official jerks that seem to think that, you know, sovereignty doesn't matter, you know. But what happens when the majority is people who don't understand our way of life and end up voting in directions that, like you say, you know, because they are completely beholden to the government to take care of them?
Yeah. And you know, I don't blame people for wanting to leave whatever third world rat hole they're crawling out of to improve their life.
But why is it a third world rat hole, though? I mean, that's the first question. Where are they coming from, and why is it really bad there, and why are they coming here from there? Because if their ways are better and the thinking of their political system is better, why would they even think about coming to America in the first place?
Exactly. And we need to fix the immigration system where people can actually immigrate to this country, where it doesn't take 6 to 7 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars to immigrate. It should be pretty simple. Be able to pass a constitution test, speak the language, pick a baseball team, pay your taxes, welcome to America.
Well, yeah, I take the test that you know, about civics that we should all be aware of, you know, that our kids are so stupid now coming out of the school system.
Then have no idea.
They have no idea about anything. Why is America great? Because
socialism and the unions invented weekends.
Yeah, that's it.
And we get holidays.
And baseball teams, too.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to live in a state without one.
Yeah.
Except they come from Montana, where there isn't one. No wonder about it.
Yeah.
Not a problem here, folks. Just move along.
I view what our government is doing to illegal immigrants, and they're basically creating a class of indentured servants, and I think it's disgusting.
Well, that and, you know, the anybody who is, you know, on board with constitutional scholastics that revealed the truth about freedom and liberty and the economic boom that came out of that and sprung out of that and created the best standard of living, the highest standard of living in the history of the world ever, is being destroyed through, you know, illegal means by circumventing rule of law, by ignoring the Constitution. Those guys are the evil guys because they might homeschool their children, and we need to set up a drill.
And let's be honest about some things, too. You know, like they say, the illegals do jobs that Americans won't do. That's nonsense. They do jobs that a businessman can't afford to pay a citizen to do because of minimum wage laws and things like that. Do you have any idea how much your food would cost at the store if they had to pay everybody minimum wage?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Look what happened in Washington with minimum wage.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
And these people are getting screwed on both ends.
Well, I heard that McDonald's has got a new way of fixing the minimum wage thing. Everybody, they want everybody to get a higher wage, right? You know, go to like $15 an hour in the minimum wage. Well, what they did was they just replaced all of their guys that work
with little computer programs.
Go to Red Robin here in Reading. You'll see the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They replaced the waiters and waitresses with a computer you order from your table.
And it's headed that way with all businesses.
Yeah.
They just want to replace.
So now you just go into McDonald's and slide your card and punch in Big Mac, small fries, you know, and you don't have to know English. They'll have pictures. Mm-hmm. And then the guys that were protesting about, you know, having a minimum wage will have no wage. But they will be, you know, plenty of food stamps to go around. And what happens when.
You hope. They hope.
What happens when there's more people not working than there are people working? And what happens when your food projections and all of your food is being imported from foreign countries that hate you?
Aren't we pretty well there? I mean, what do we produce in this country? Not too much like we used to.
Yeah, what happens when you're totally dependent on the government for your sustenance, food stamps, all that stuff? You know, I think we should maybe call a few people in Detroit and ask them what it's like. To be dependent on the government, or
if you can, they don't have phones.
No, they have phones.
Do they have? They might have cell phones. They have the free cell phones. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And with that, I think we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Hey. Good morning, everyone. I think I have the condition that Red is going through. So, thanks to the whatever's in the air again. You were just sharing, Mark, earlier about wartime and what things are looking like, and to connect the dots, and the Friday installment of Geoengineering was talking about a government implementing illegal gag order on our National Weather Service and NOAA employees.
Mm-hmm.
So they are now not to do whatever they've been doing with the little freedom they've had to talk about what's happening with our weather and forecasting, but now they've been given non-disclosure. And this is for the weather. Aren't we supposed to talk about the weather freely, like sports and anything else? So this is really concerning because you lose a lot of rights when that happens. Things get more silent about what's really going on. And it just actually points, I think, to something's definitely horribly wrong, because why would you ask your employees to sign something like this? First off, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if there's nothing going on, why are they being gagged?
Exactly. So this is just amazing. I don't know if everybody knows.
Maybe because some people are working on documents now from whistleblowers with inside NOAA that are stating that the government has been creating different climate perceptions and different periods of stagnant air for successful distribution of psychoactive drugs in the air.
Yep. barium, strontium, lithium. It's already been discovered in Oregon as a test site.
Mm-hmm.
We've completely been slammed for the longest time. We've got our picture-taking, video-taking all the time going on. But anyway, if people want to read a very brief thing, I think he's gotten almost 228 comments back on this. The Jeff Rutsch, he's the executive director of PEER, which stands for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, had this to say about the gag order. The National Weather Service is about the last place where national security-style security rules need to be enforced. Rutsch noted that the broad scope of this gag order puts much of what goes on inside the agency under wraps. Everyone is free to talk about the weather except for the people working inside the National Weather Service. Go figure.
Yeah.
End of quote.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is just completely pathetic and alarming. I don't know what I'm going to say to the Weather Channel, but
it's like calling our local schmoes. Oh, there's nothing going on up there. Those are comm trails. Only they last all day, and they have checkerboard patterns. And I don't know what they're spraying. All I'm saying is
I like all the pretty colors.
And the colors lately. Yeah, I mean,
hey, it's a rainbow, get it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no lollipops at the end, you know?
Yeah, insanity. The insanity continues. I mean, and that feathers into the story I'm looking at right now. EPA shuts off faulty sensors used to detect radiation nationwide. You know,
yep.
It's like, really? This is from the Wall Street Journal, by the way. This isn't from the Tinfoil Hat Club, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Wall Street Journal, and they're saying that, Fukushima hasn't stopped leaking radiation, so why would we shut off the radiation detectors in America just because? Because
they're showing higher levels of radiation, so obviously they're faulty.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they need to be replaced or something.
Yeah, there's
just
no,
shut it down. The hey, doesn't hey, make no difference.
There's no radiation.
Nothing to see here, please. Nothing to see here, please.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the ticket. Yeah, that's it. You know, it just gets old after a while, and then, you know, the mainstream media is just so in the tank on most of this stuff.
Everything.
On everything. Wow. I mean, they black out anything that goes against the government's narrative. And that's really the
If I could read the last paragraph in case there's a few of your listeners that don't have computers. It says, we are officially living in an Orwellian police state where anyone who dares to try and tell the truth are dealt with severely. Forcing employees of national weather and climate agencies to sign confidential agreements is extremely alarming, with unimaginable potential consequences. But not surprising given what we know about the catalyst being caused by the rapidly growing climate engineering elephant in the room. Some may mistake the gag order to be only about union issues. This is not the case, as quotes above taken from this report make it clear. The decimation and mortality that has already been inflicted on our biosphere and all life from global engineering is so immense it could never be calculated. The weather wherefore insanity is finally becoming all but impossible to hide. The recent gag orders are a sign of true desperation on the part of the power structure. Now, more than ever, we must all keep up our pace in the battle to expose and halt climate engineering. And that's
that's what we do here is we talk about the stuff nobody else will talk about. Thanks for the call, Lori. I want to move on to something here before we still have time for the top of the hour. Do we have to go to a break, Bob?
All right. Well, go to a break. Again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
This is Carl Bott. Join Crown Motors and their salute to the veterans. From October 27th through Veterans Day, November 11th, there'll be a 10% discount for all parts and labor in their service department for our veterans with proof of service. Additionally, on November 10th and 11th, $100 from every car purchase will be donated to two local veterans organizations. Linda and I will be at Crown Motors November 10th and 11th from 7 to 9 a.m. to celebrate their salute to the veterans. Crown Motors and CrownMotorsReading.com. Crown Motors, a salute to those who have served.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Rich Novelli, President and CEO of Wellgate Sports Club. Rich is going to tell us how to prepare for this upcoming holiday season, how to keep from gaining too much weight, and eat the right food. Also, Christmas at the Cascade. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they do. And I must remember, there'll be days like this.
Yeah, Van Morrison, that's some good stuff right there.
When you don't need an answer, there'll be days like this.
I wanted to read this. Okay, this is entitled Death of a Patriot. This is from the Peter Schiff Show. Peter Schiff. A lot of people out there might not realize that Irwin Schiff was Peter Schiff's father, and he died this last Monday. So I want to read this. My father, Irwin A. Schiff, was born February 23rd, 1928. Excuse me, you'll have to bear with me here. The eighth child and the only son of Jewish immigrants who had crossed the Atlantic 20 years earlier in search of freedom. As a result of their hope and courage, my father was fortunate enough to have been born in the freest nation in the history of the world. But when he passed away on October 16, 2015, at the age of 87, a political prisoner of the same nation, legally blind and shackled to a hospital bed in a guarded room in intensive care, the free nation that he was born into had itself died years earlier. My father had a lifelong love affair with our nation's founding principles and proudly served his country during the Korean War. For a while, having the less than honorable distinction of being the lowest ranking American soldier in Europe. While in college, he became exposed to the principles of Austrian economics through the writings of Henry Hazlitt and Friedrich Hayek. He first became active in politics during the Barry Goldwater. Let me see if I can scroll this up a little bigger so I can see. That's not going to work. Okay. He first became active in politics during the Barry Goldwater failed 1964 presidential bid. His activism intensified during the Vietnam War when he led local grassroots effort to resist Yale University's plan to conduct and aid shipments to North Vietnam at a time when that nation was actively fighting U.S. forces in the South. Later in his life, he staged an unsuccessful writing campaign for governor of Connecticut. Then he eventually lost to the Libertarian Party's presidential nomination, Harry Brown, in 1996. In 1976, his belief in free market economics, limited government, and strict interpretation of the Constitution led him to write his first book, The Biggest Con, How Government is Fleecing You, a blistering indictment of the post-New Deal expansion of government in the United States. The book archived accolades in the mainstream conservative world, receiving a stellar review in the Wall Street Journal, among other mainstream publications. But my father was most known for his staunch opposition to the federal income tax, for which the federal government labeled him a tax protester. But he had no objection to lawful, reasonable taxation. He was not an anarchist and believed that the state had an important but limited role to play in the market-based economy. He opposed the federal government's illegal and unconstitutional enforcement and collection of income tax. His first book on the topic, he authored another six in total, self-published by Freedom Books, How Anyone Can Stop Paying Income Tax, published in 1982, became a New York Times bestseller. His last, The Federal Mafia, How the Government Illegally Imposes and Unlawfully Collects Income Tax, the first of three editions published in 1992, became the only nonfiction and second and last book to be banned in America. The only other book being Fannie Hill, Memories of a Woman's Pleasure, banned for obscenity in 1821 and 1963. His crusade to enforce the government to obey the law earned him three prison sentences, the final one being a 14-year sentence that he began serving 10 years ago at the age of 77. The sentence actually turned into a life sentence as my father failed to survive until his planned 2017 release. Release date.
We're top of the hour.
We'll come back and finish this out.
All right. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump and Ben Carson top a new AP GFK poll of Republican voters who are asked who they think might actually have a chance of winning the presidential election. Trump is unimpressed with third-place finisher Jeb Bush, or Carson, for that matter.
He doesn't have the temperament for it. He doesn't have, you know, I use the word energy, but, and by the way, Ben Carson's a very low-energy person also.
He was a guest on ABC TV's This Week program. Israeli police say a Palestinian has stabbed an Israeli in the West Bank and seriously wounded him today. They say the attacker ran away and police are searching the area. Lawmen also report a female teenager was shot dead today after pulling out a knife while approaching a police checkpoint in the West Bank city of Hebron. These incidents the latest in weeks of almost daily Palestinian attacks against Israelis. A strike deadline is looming for General Motors workers.
United Auto Workers says it's prepared to strike at midnight Sunday if they can't reach an agreement with GM. The union made a similar threat in recent discussions with Fiat Chrysler before agreeing to a new four-year contract. GM says it's committed to reaching an agreement that's good for employees and business, while the union says GM should be able to pay more because it makes more. That's an idea that's in conflict with company goals of cutting labor costs to bring them closer to foreign automakers with U.S. factories. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Forecasters say the deluge in Texas is finally nearing its end. More than a foot of rain has drenched parts of the state since Friday, shutting down busy highways and derailing a train. One man is missing after being swept away by floodwaters near San Antonio, but no deaths or major destruction has been confirmed. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair says the rise of ISIS can be partially blamed on the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Blair made that revelation in an interview today with CNN. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you've heard Mike Gallagher talk about his mortgage company, then you've heard about Sovereign Lending Group's low 30-year hybrid fixed-rate mortgage loan, 1.75%. That 2.4 APR works on a $300,000 home with at least a 700 FICO score and an 80% loan-to-value. Did you hear that? A fixed-rate mortgage at 1.75%. And as if 1.75% is not enough to get you excited about a refi or buying a new home, get this. SLG Mortgage has a 7-year rate guarantee. If rates drop during the first 7 years of your loan, they'll refi you for free. Now you know why Mike Gallagher is so excited about Sovereign Lending Group. Do you think you've got the lowest rate? Make one more call to SLG Mortgage, and they'll beat any competitor's rate. Get in touch with them right now by calling 800-310-1057. That's 800-310-1057. Or you can visit mikeslender.com. Mikeslender.com.
Shipwreck hunters think they found a large barge that was loaded with oil or some kind of solvent when it was sunk nearly 80 years ago in Lake Erie and may now be leaking near the U.S.-Canadian border. It would be a significant discovery because the barge named the Argo is on a federal list of shipwrecks that pose a potential pollution threat to U.S. waters. The Coast Guard sent a boat and a helicopter to the site yesterday near Ohio's Kelly's Island after a small leak was detected near the wreckage on Friday. It's not clear whether it's an ongoing leak or what kind of substance might be coming out. Divers who examined the wreckage a few days ago didn't notice any leaks at that time. Hollywood and much of America remembering actress Maureen O'Hara, known for her fiery hair and feisty disposition. She passed away yesterday in Boise, Idaho at her home, 95 years old. Never nominated for an Oscar, but she did star in a number of the best-known films of Hollywood's golden age. This is townhall.com. Most of the 40th annual Marine Corps Marathon being run today in rain here in Washington, D.C. Connie Lawn has more.
Many in this nation are paying tribute to those who serve and sacrifice in the military. 30,000 runners are competing in the Marine Corps Marathon. It snakes its way through 26 miles of Washington, D.C. At the 14-mile mark, the runners pay special tribute to the service members who died in battle. This Wednesday, Britain's Prince Harry visits the Washington area to prepare for the Invictus Games. Wounded warriors from 14 nations will compete in those games to be held in Orlando in May. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Today is Sunday, October 25th, the 298th day of 2015. There are 67 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1415, outnumbered English soldiers led by Henry V defeated French troops at the Battle of Agincourt. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta
stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed up.
Got our house in order and got yours inside.
I am American.
What do I say to the tax man when he comes to my door and says, "You have never paid taxes"? Who? Simple words. Two simple words in the English language. I forgot. How many times do we let ourselves get into terrible situations because we don't say, "I forgot"? Let's say you're on trial for armed robbery. You say to the judge, "I forgot armed robbery was illegal."
Yeah, Erwin Schiff had a good sense of humor, so I think he'd appreciate that. But getting back here, I want to finish this out. You know, his crusade to force the government to obey the law earned him 3 prison sentences, okay? And, you know, the final one being 14-year sentence that he, you know, served 10 years, you know, at the age of 77. He failed to survive that. However, his actual sentence being a life sentence because he died there. My father died from skin cancer that went undiagnosed and untreated while he was in federal custody. The skin cancer that led to a virulent outbreak of lung cancer that took his life just more than 2 months after his initial diagnosis. The unnecessarily cruel twist in his final years occurred 7 years ago when he reached his 80th birthday. At that point, the government moved him from an extremely low-security federal prison camp in New York State, where he was within easy drive distance from family and friends, to a federal correctional institute, first in Indiana and then in Texas. This was done specially to give him better access to medical care. The trade-off was that my father was forced to live in isolation from those who loved him. Given that visiting him required long flights, car rentals, and hotel stays, his visits were few and far between. Yet while at these supposed superior medical facilities, my father received virtually no medical care at all, not even for his cataracts that left him legally blind, until the skin cancer on his head had spread to just about every organ in his body. At the time of his diagnosis in early August of this year, he was given 4 to 6 months to live. We tried to get him out of the prison on compassionate release so he could live out the final months of his life with his family, spending some precious moments with his grandchildren he had barely known. But he did not live long enough for the bureaucratic process to be complete. 2 months after the process began, despite the combined help of sitting Democrat U.S. Congresswoman and Republican U.S. Senator, his petition was still sitting on someone's desk waiting for yet another signature. Even though everyone in the prison actually wanted him released, even as my father lay dying in intensive care, a phone call came from a lawyer and the Bureau of Prisons in Washington asking the prison medical representatives for more proof of the serious nature of my father's condition. As the cancer consumed his voice, his voice changed, and the prison phone system no longer recognized it, so he could not even talk with his family members on the phone during his final month of life. When his condition deteriorated to the point where he needed to be hospitalized, government employees blindly followed orders kept him shackled to his bed. This despite the fact that escape was impossible for an 87-year-old, terminally ill, legally blind patient who could barely breathe, let alone walk. Whether you agree with my father's views on federal income tax or the manner by which it is collected, it is hard to condone the way he was treated by our government. He held his convictions so sincerely and so passionately that he continued to espouse them until his dying breath. Like William Wallace in the final scene of Braveheart, an oppressive government may have succeeded in killing him, but they did not break his spirit. And that spirit will live on in his books, his videos, and in his children and his grandchildren. Hopefully his legacy will one day help restore the lost freedoms he died trying to protect, finally allowing him to rest in peace. Excuse me. And that's from Peter Schiff. So, gee, don't buck the guys on the federal income tax.
No.
Well, that's the thing that got me, is he was sentenced but never convicted. How do you sentence someone for a crime they're never convicted of?
Well, that's a good question. I think that because when Peter was fighting these guys, there wasn't a political outcry across the board. I mean, Irwin, when he was fighting these guys. You know, he didn't have any public opinion on his side, and the courts ramrodded him. And so I'm not sure all the details of that. It might be something to look into for a further program. But the real deal was that they treated him like crap, okay? They made it as hard on him as they possibly could because they wanted to send a message to any protesters, okay? And so I guess the founding principles of our country no longer apply: free speech, taxation without representation, you just go to federal prison and die blind and old and full of skin cancer with no medical treatment. Is that how we're going to treat people who dissent from this government regime? And I'm talking about Bush 1, Bush 2, Clinton, Obama, all of them, because they're all complicit in this crap.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and talk about being patriotic.
Right. So in my book, Irwin Schiff is a hero. And, you can make your own judgments, but I believe a great patriot died last Friday.
Yeah. That's the conviction he had. Is amazing that, there's people out there like that, it's yep. not a game. It yep. really isn't a game, folks. This is a real thing, yeah. And this happens. And it's going to happen more if we don't stand up yeah. together.
So with that, I guess we have a guest on the line that we probably need to start talking about, too, because it's related as well, election integrity. I mean, gosh, have the politicians, I mean, what did Stalin say? It's not who votes, I should say it like with Putin. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, really, but it's true. You know, they don't care about what the population really thinks or has to say. What they care about is controlling the population for their own ends. And look at what Communist China just did this last week. No more golf. Do you think they really care about the people out there? When they can hand down a mandate that says no more golf, okay, what's to stop them from twisting everything when they get enough power to do so? And it doesn't matter whether it's Obama or Bush or whoever. But with that, I'm I'm kind of angry about this.
Yeah, let's welcome our guest, Linda Payne. Are you with us this morning, Linda?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Not a problem. We're glad that you could join us.
And you're in charge of the Election Integrity Project, Linda, and you've been working on this for quite some time. And maybe you could give us a little background on yourself, tell us what's going on, and bring us up to date with the Election Integrity Project.
Okay, very good. We are a nonpartisan, all-volunteer citizen organization. We were founded in December 2010 after many of us in the southern counties went to the polls and observed what we consider to be fraud. We've since learned you can't really use that term fraud, because in order to prove fraud, you have to prove intent. And what that means is you have to prove that the person in their heart and in their mind, they intended to commit fraud. So what we now use is the word anomalies and corruption. We see corruption has opened the door. But what we do in a nutshell, we researched California's election laws so that we would know what the laws were. We researched federal and state laws so that we could know if California was compliant with state and federal laws, which we found they're not. And we researched the data, purchased data county by county to see if they are cleaning up the voter rolls by removing deceased and duplicates and so on and so forth. And then we also document what's happening in the polls. Our organization is the only one in the country that actually documents what's happening using an incident report form. That includes the caveat I declare under penalty of perjury that what I'm writing here is true and factual. So the importance of that is it changes the observation from an anecdote, which is easily thrown off, you know, oh, that's, how do we know what happened, to an actual legal document that can be used as evidence in any kind of legal action, or what we just had a U.S. Commission on Civil Rights hearing in August. We were able to provide 4.5 years worth of documented evidence of the corruption of California's election process.
So when you say corruption, can you be more specific? What is corrupted?
Well, when you have laws on the books that are not followed, it creates the possibility of those who intend to manipulate the system to be able to do it without prosecution. So, for instance, the federal law requires that California have a top-down centralized database, voter registration database. We are the only state in the country that has not yet complied with the 2002 Help America Vote Act, which requires that. The Department of Justice has given us a waiver in what's called a memorandum of agreement to have a bottom-up system. The difference is that a top-down system would mean that when you register to vote in your county, it automatically shows up in the state database. So if you're a person who is attempting to register more than once, it would show up immediately. In a bottom-up system, each county can only clean up their own county. They are not able to check the surrounding counties or counties across the state for duplicates. If a person who's registered in their county passes away in a different county, they won't know about it because the coroner sends the information to that county's registrar. So it's just fraught with possibilities for someone who wants to manipulate the system, to manipulate it. And that's what we found. We have hundreds of thousands of duplicated voter registrations on the books that are supposed to be being cleaned up now. The new system now is supposed to be compliant with the Help America Vote Act by 2016, but, you know, we've heard that before, so we'll have to see.
Well, when you say it opens up possibility, it sounds like that you've actually found that it is happening, and it could be happening in huge numbers?
Absolutely. Because the voter rolls are not being cleaned up, We have identified thousands of duplicated registrations being duplicated by sometimes the people who are being paid by parties and candidates to go help with voter registration. It's easy enough to duplicate a registration by simply picking up a stack of applications, having access to the voter roll, and filling out an application. So instead of Linda Payne, the new application would say Linda X Payne. It would always have my address because you have to have an address of where you lay your head, where you live. But the mailing address can be different. So they'll have a post office box where they'll mail the voting materials. And then they adjust the birth date, the month or the year by just a little bit. So it makes it look like it's a brand new registration. And unfortunately, the rules for California is that if the registrars see what looks like a duplicate, they are to remove the earlier version. So citizens are not actually being asked, hey, did you just register to vote? It's, the older version is simply just removed, which means the citizen's version is being removed and the duplicate is on there. And so the signature doesn't match, which is why when you have petition drives and you have thousands of signatures thrown out, we wonder, is it because the actual citizen's signature is no longer on record? The duplicated voter registration is now on record. And that's just one. That's just one way to do it. We have noted over 900 or over 800 deceased in L.A. County that were re-registered and voted after the day they passed away.
Do you think that is what could have happened in the vaccine vote here, where they just threw out, literally hundreds of thousands?
They just disappeared.
They just disappeared. Oh, they were just, those ones were just stolen.
Yeah, they just didn't make it to their destination.
What it appears to happen on the vaccine thing is all of the signatures were brought to one place to be transported to the Secretary of State, and somewhere between being transported to the Secretary of the State and where they were being held, hundreds of thousands of signatures didn't make it to the Secretary of State. They believe that possibly the vaccine companies had some people that were working there on the inside of that, and they're the ones that wandered off with the signatures.
So what do you do with all these guys that aren't going to follow the law, basically? I mean, you know, is there no accountability at all? Can you sue them? Do the people have to rise up with pitchforks and torches in order to straighten this out? What is the remedy for all this crap?
Well, there are several things that citizens can do, and it's something we learned with the Election Integrity Project. The first year that we went out to observe polls in 2010, we saw behavior taking place that was very concerning, and we, including a college freshman who went to vote mid-afternoon and found someone had already voted for him and signed the roster. And so impersonation in the polls is a big problem in California. The first thing we learned is by simply saying, hey, let me sound the alarm, let me tell someone we saw these things. Four of us in the southern counties contacted a federal, state election law attorney and shared with her all that we had seen. And we learned that nothing could be done because it was not documented evidence. When it's considered anecdotal, it's very easily thrown out in court because you can't prove it. And so here we're talking about the vaccination signatures. Right now it's going to be, that's considered anecdotal. Mm-hmm. It's a he said, she did, said, can you prove it? So what we began doing with Election Integrity Project in order to get around that is we train our volunteers to observe from start to finish, from the setting up of the polls to the delivery of the ballots to the drop-off point, to how that is being taken care of at the drop-off point, how the ballots are being taken to the registrar. We have documented how the signature verification process takes place at the registrars, and we've trained thousands to go to the polls and document it. Well, because we could document it, we were finally able to give the evidence to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and we asked for an investigation into California's election process, and they took it. The California, every single state has an advisory board that is part of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights was passed by Congress in 1965, I believe it was. It was 1960s. But what you do in each state is you reach out to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights Advisory Commission in California and make your case. That's one thing you can do. The unfortunate thing is you can go to the DA, you can go to your legislators, you can go anywhere you want, but if you did not actually observe someone taking them and doing something with them, there really is nothing you can do in a court. You can't take court action there. What you can do is put in place a better strategy, and citizens across the state, we are encouraging them to become more civically engaged. We have to engage our legislators and all elected officials from the lowest level, someone who's on the water board, all the way up to the federal level, Congress and Senate. And we actually do recommend people reach out to the Center for Self-Governance. They are out of Tennessee. We have helped to coordinate them training citizens all over California this year, because we see that when citizens know how to engage civically and control our elected officials, then we start to win. But there's the big issue. So whether it's the Privacy for All, the bathroom bill, same thing happened with their signatures. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands were thrown out, and so they're having to do a new petition drive for the vaccines, or what we've observed in the polls. You have to document it and be willing to fill out a form or write a letter and include the caveat, I declare under penalty of perjury that what I've observed and what I've documented here is true and factual. And then you can pull those observations together and reach out to a DA and ask for action to be taken.
Wow. What's another thing here that's an issue is the voter by mail stuff. For some reason, you guys are saying that to not vote by mail because there's a problem with it of some sort?
Well, the problem with vote by mail and provisional ballot, both of them, the voter is giving their ballot to a third person, or third party, I should say. So whether you put the ballot in the mail at the post office, or whether you've dropped it off at an early voting polling box, you have to trust that someone's going to get that ballot to the registrar and that it is indeed going to be counted. Now, the vote by mail and the provisional ballots, they have to be scrutinized. So they have to go through a process to make sure the signatures match. Well, with what we have found, hundreds of thousands of duplicated registrations, citizens don't know they're being duplicated. So when they vote with a vote by mail or provisional, it has to be matched against the signature on record. If they happen to have been duplicated, their signature is not going to match the signature on record, and so it won't be counted.
So they just throw all those votes out.
So what we tell people, if they're concerned about, well, what if I'm traveling or what if I get sick, they can vote by mail, but then we recommend they walk it into their polling location. They surrender it to the clerk at their polling location, and when they do that, they're allowed to get a regular ballot. The safest way to know that your ballot counted is if you vote with a regular ballot. We heard we got a report in 2012 that there were two bags of vote-by-mail ballots that were left behind at a post office in San Joaquin County. So when all those ballots were counting, for those ballots to be counted, they had to be taken to the registrar by someone at the post office. So two bags worth of citizens did not get to vote, because someone forgot to take them to the registrar. And that's our point. If you want to know that your vote counted, go to the poll and vote. And better yet, if we all really want to know that our vote counts, we need to take back our polling places. In every community in the state of California, we need citizens to to adopt the poles in their communities, get trained by the county, because they have to get trained by the county, and then also take the supplemental training with Election Integrity Project so that we can train them on what the law says to do. The other way that our ballots are being manipulated is in the polling locations. And the way that happens is when you go to the polling location, you have a street roster hanging outside the door with every voter's name, address, and phone number hanging on the roster. Well, in this day of identity theft, we have tried to get the legislators to change that, because that's all you need to impersonate a voter, a name and a phone number. And we believe that's what happened to the young man I mentioned earlier. If you can just simply write down a name and a number on a piece of paper, 3x5 card, or if you can pick up someone's trash, they've thrown away their sample ballot, you pick it up and walk it in. The law in California, the only law in California that protects voters from being impersonated, is the check-in procedure at the poll. And the law requires that the citizen must first state their name. My name is Linda Payne. And then the poll worker will repeat it back. And then they look in the book and they find it. And then their job's done. And then I go to the next clerk and I must initiate. I live at, and I state my address. The clerk looks it forward in the book. You live at. They find it. Check it off. Done. Then I go to the third station, and that station is supposed to be a blank space where I now have to write down my address. What's happening now is counties are pre-printing that space. If it were where I wrote it down, I'd get that done. And then the fourth station is I sign the book and I get my ballot. Because the law is not being followed, we have observed and documented that during the morning, people come and pull down that street index, which is illegal, but inspectors aren't aware that it's illegal. They sit in a circle on the ground, pull it apart, pass it around to, you know, a group of 3 to 5 to 10 people, and they start writing down names and addresses. Or they can come and take pictures of the pages, and then put them on a piece of paper or a 3x5 card. And then we see groups of people coming in midday and then into the evening, where it's kind of a big rush. And all you have to do is walk into a poll, hand that piece of paper over to the first clerk, and the Secretary of State has mandated that they take whatever's handed to them and look for it in the book. So now what happens is you bring in your sample ballot, whatever you have in your hand, you never have to say one word. The clerk looks for your name, says, oh, there you are, I'm in the pain. They're now passing that piece of paper or sample ballot to the next clerk, who looks for the address, writes it down, checks it off, And now, because it's pre-printed, you just go right over there, sign that third, fourth station, sign it, and get the regular ballot, which is not scrutinized. Then when the voter comes in, they say, oh, my goodness, well, Linda Payne, you've already voted. And I say, I've not voted. This is me. We don't have voter ID, so how can I prove it?
Right.
So I'm given a provisional ballot because the regular ballot went to the person who impersonated me.
We're going to have to go to a break, but when you were touching about ballots by mail and stuff, how does that work with our military? Because when they're overseas, they have to do a mail-in ballot. How can we maybe, oversee that? Or, you know, sometimes they don't even get their ballots in time in order to vote. So with that, we're going to have to go to a break. Again, if you want to have a question or comment for Linda, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. He don't know what he's asking. He tells me I better get in line. I can't hear what he's saying. When I grow up, I'm gonna make it mine. These ain't dues I've been paying. Well, how much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine.
Are you an artist, artisan, craftsman, or purveyor of fine goods?
Come be a part of Red Town Market,
Redding's new holiday tradition.
You'll have the opportunity to showcase your work and goods to thousands in our community.
There'll be live music, wine tasting, local coffee roasters, and vendors just like you, creating an amazing retail experience to kick off the holiday season. That's November 28th at the Redding Civic Auditorium.
Apply online at reddingcivic.com
or call 229-0036.
Red Town Market is a juried event. Vendors are considered independent contractors and are solely responsible for federal, state, and local laws regarding permits, sales tax withholding, reporting, and all other legal requirements.
Red Town Market, your new holiday tradition.
Kyle DeFore here from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. We'd like to welcome all veterans, active duty military personnel, and their spouses to enjoy 10% off everything in the store on Veterans Day, November 11th, as our way of saying thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And be sure to come out Friday, November 6th, when KCNR 1460's own Carl and Linda Bott will be broadcasting live from Mighty Fine, 7 to 9 a.m. Mighty Fine Foods is locally owned and operated, located at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
This is Carl Bott. Join Crown Motors and their salute to the veterans. From October 27th through Veterans Day, November 11th, there will be a 10% discount for all parts and labor in their service department for our veterans with proof of service. Additionally, on November 10th and 11th, $100 from every car purchase will be donated to two local veterans organizations. Linda and I will be at Crown Motors November 10th and 11th from 7 to 9 a.m. to celebrate their salute to the veterans. Crown Motors and CrownMotorsReading.com. Crown Motors, a salute to those who have served.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're all kind of struggling through here just to keep from getting...
You could too, Har. Yeah, it's like, you know, get out of the room. Yeah, they're like really sick, you know.
Me and Red are in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, they're not doing well. But before we went to the break, Linda, I asked you about the veterans and the mail-in ballots and stuff. You know, here in Shasta County one year, they didn't even get their ballots in time. Is there a way that we can maybe oversee that or make it so that there's not such a problem with it?
There has been a larger effort across the country to find a way to help them to vote. And I have learned that some of our military are able to vote electronically. I know they realize it's a problem. solving it is, it comes down to having a better organizational structure, and that runs into timing. So here's our challenge. There are time deadlines that candidates can provide their information to the registrars so they can create the sample ballot. And unfortunately, those timelines bring it close enough to the election day that if they mail those ballots out close to that deadline where our military can get all of the information they need, it's likely not going to reach them in time. So that's why they're trying to find a way to do this more electronically, where they can electronically send them their ballots so it can get there early enough and then mail them in. We have learned that they're in some states are doing better than others. California actually is doing better than others because we don't have as many military in California. A lot of the people on our bases come from other states. So this is the one area we in the IP don't know as much about because it's a huge endeavor, and that's a whole separate effort that's being taken. So I can only tell you what I've heard in that. But our local military bases, we have worked to get them involved for their families who are voting on base and to be involved with registrars in their counties to make sure that those the information is being sent out soon enough so that they can vote. Now, something that might help them, though we absolutely believe it is just ripe for manipulation, is in 2014, there was a bill that was passed that allows the registrars to accept vote-by-mail ballots up to 3 days after the election day. And they're letting them be postmarked, not necessarily from a U.S. Postal Service, but from any postmark. And the danger there is those of us who have post office or postal software on our computers can simply set the date and print it out. So now we know registrars have till 3 days to let vote-by-mails come in case people thought they could mail their vote-by-mail in on the election day rather than 3 days before so it arrives on election day. And then they passed another law saying they have, I think it's 8 to 10 days to come and sign that vote by mail. So if they sent their vote by mail and forgot to sign it, they now have 8 to 10 days after the election day to drive over to the registrar and sign it. So when we talk about corruption and opening the doors to potential voter fraud, this is a prime example of what we mean. The laws make it so that someone who has a criminal intention can do it with ease. And now it's even in the law that they can do it. And that's really what the IP is fighting, is let's get back to some kind of sanity where the integrity of the election is protected rather than let's just make it so easy for everyone that even criminals can manipulate the system. It's that easy.
Well, I think criminals are running the system, quite frankly. I mean, that's my take. When you look at what, you know, is going on up there in Jerry Brown's office and everything else, they're running the system because, you know, I believe that some of these people are getting elected illegally. They're not, you know, it's not a majority of the people that are electing these guys in some of these places, I don't believe, because, you know, how can you reconcile some of the people that are still in office and some of the stuff that they do? I mean, you can only blame dumb voters for so much, and then at some point in time, I think you got to say there's something wrong.
You know, I agree. That's why we got started. Truly, you can blame dumb voters, but most of us may not know all the laws. But we certainly know the basics of voting. So I think that's been a cover for a very long time. But I want to give you some good news. There's so much bad news around elections, and especially AB 1461. If we have a second, I would like to warn everyone about that.
Okay.
But the good news is this. Through networking of citizens across the state over the last 4 years, we ended up creating a coalition. And it just happened, but it was a coalition between the Election Integrity Project and then Guard My Vote, who worked at putting the Voter ID Initiative on the ballot. Nancy Eisenhart, who is one of the founders, was trained by EIP in L.A. County to observe the poles, and what she saw was so astounding that she joined with two other women to start Guard My Vote and try to get Guard My Vote on the ballot. Now, that fell short, but in the networking with citizens across the state, because EIP has teams in 35 counties, enough people were able to meet Nancy Eisenhart that when a seat was vacated on the U.S. Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, her name was recommended. And so she was invited to fill that seat, and she took it. And so for 1 year, she worked on that committee to show them all of the documented research that thousands of citizens across the state had stepped up to help us gather. She showed them Election Integrity Project report after report after report. And because we did it the way we do it, with documentation, after a year's time, that committee finally admitted California has a problem, and it was time to have the commission come in and hear the evidence. So they had an open hearing on August 28th, and we provided for them a mountain of evidence and citizens who came from all over the state to testify, and they did an amazing job. We even had someone from Trinity County drive down to testify about what's going on in Trinity County. The evidence was so compelling, and the citizens were absolutely amazing, because we proved to them that this is not like a minority civil rights issue. This is a citizens at large issue, regardless of political persuasion, regardless of what you look like. It just didn't matter. We were all being, we were able to prove that all of us are being disenfranchised, mm-hmm. and our civil rights are being violated. Well, by the end of that hearing, the director said that they would like to give us another month because they want us to give them everything we have. So we actually took another month after that to provide everything we had. And that was so compelling, and our testimony so strong against L.A. County, which is the tail wagging the dog in California, that for the first time in 4.5 years, we now are working with L.A. County. They've opened the doors to work with us and are basically saying, what do we need to do? We proved they were not in compliance. They were breaking all kinds of laws. It went to the commission, and so now they're forced to clean up their voter rolls. We just met with them last week, and they have removed so far 30,000 deceased registrants.
What a racket. Good grief.
Yeah. But see, when you remove those 30,000 deceased registrants and they're on the voter rolls as active, someone can vote in their place. And that's how we got the 831.
Well, and those could make huge differences in these local elections at the local level. We've already seen it, whereas, you know, the difference of, what was it, 9 or 12 votes on the Gary Cadd thing here. And so, you know, that could be huge, depending on, you know, what you're trying to affect as far as an election is for, you know, for a city council or a board of supervisors, those type of things. That could be a game changer.
Absolutely. They removed 37,000 duplicates just in L.A. County, and they're not finished. They're continuing to work at it, and that's the good news. We are now trying to work in a positive way with them to continue to keep that pressure on, that we will continue observing. We will buy the voter rolls. We'll run it against their data, and we'll see, are they actually removing everything? But we've seen an attitude change when all of a sudden what has been taking place, you know, under cover of darkness for years is now documented and presented to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. That's a game changer. And the attitude of the registrars is changing because of that.
Well, that's one of the things, too, is here in California, we already suffer under the worst voter dilution in the country. I mean, we're almost 200% worse than the next closest state in voter dilution of what our votes actually count for. And when you're talking as a possibility of up to 67,000 erroneous votes or illegal votes in Los Angeles, that makes it even worse.
Right. We have some real questions about the state races in 2014, because we also know that in LA County, they neglected to print the vote-by-mail indicators on the check-in rosters. And so the polling precinct boards received lists of 400 to 700 names that they were to manually add to the check-in roster because they didn't get printed. But, of course, that created chaos. And so the bottom line is when you have that kind of chaos in the polls, you have people who can double vote. They can mail in their vote-by-mail ballot and then go to the polls and vote. And we had observers, we had 82 observers all over the state of the county of L.A. observing the frustration of the poll workers because they couldn't do their job, of the people who came to vote because there was no indication whether they were a vote-by-mail voter or not. The good news is, though, we included that in our evidence to the commission, and we're now working with the registrar to find out how did that happen, who made the decision not to reprint, and we'll be ensuring that it doesn't happen in 2014. But here's the deal. We've been told that Pete Peterson, who ran for the Secretary of State's office, lost by 400,000 votes, and 350,000 of those votes came from L.A. County.
Well, I mean, I would think that there should be some criminal charges filed at some point here, because when you're taking away other people's constitutional rights of voting, I mean, we just had this morning, Terry called in with the code section with the code section that says that is a crime in itself. I mean, I feel like I'm watching Gangs of New York, Tammany Hall crap here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like instead of Boss Tweed, we got Governor Tweedledum Moonbeam. And you know, something has to be done here, you know, because this is ruining the country. You know, no rule of law. You know, how many times did you vote this week, you know, type stuff? Well,
vote, you know, like they say, vote early and often.
Oh, vote early and often. I mean, it does make a case for the state of Jefferson as well, because, you know, people have to get involved in their government here. That's really what it comes down to, and we can't let the crooks run the show.
Well, what we're recommending is two things. Reach out to the Center for Self-Governance and get them into your counties up north and start to train, have citizens trained with the Center for Self-Governance. They're out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And the training we've seen down in the southern counties, many of us have gone up through level 4 and 5, and it has made a huge difference as we have learned how to take control of our elected officials. And we can no longer just be mad as hell, not going to take it anymore, because that didn't work. And then trying to follow the procedures that are lawfully in place, when that doesn't work, like, for instance, the vaccine, hundreds of people went to Sacramento. My understanding is 700 of them testified at one of the committee hearings, only to have the committee rule 100% to move the bill forward. So when the game plan, the rules that we're all following, simply don't work because we're being ignored, and we're being ignored because these legislators know they can't be removed because of the corruption in our election process. Well, two things have happened in 2015 that are game changers. Number one is hundreds of citizens in the southern, central, and up through, I believe, Sacramento in the Bay Area have begun taking Center for Self-Governance training. And so we need to get them up into the northern state counties.
Well, we'll make a point to contact these guys. Maybe we can get them on the radio show as well.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, they'll do amazing. If you go to their website, they've got YouTube. They've got a media section. You can listen to their YouTube to see what they do.
Yeah, I just pulled it up here. I was just looking at it.
Okay. So we got to get people trained to learn how to control their legislators, and then we need to take back our polls. Election Integrity Project is pushing hard that we begin right now reaching out to our registrars in every county and letting them know we want to participate in the Adopt a Poll program. Right now, county workers are the lion's share of poll workers in many counties. Tulare County does 100% adopt-a-poll. So I'm pretty amazed by that. But they have county workers who want to work in the poll. They actually have to take a day off just like everyone else. But in L.A. County, where we have 4,681 polling locations, they were able to create a poll worker crisis in the primaries by having 1,240 poll workers change their mind at the last minute and not be a poll worker. And so what L.A. County's solution for that was is they had to allow non-citizens to work the polls. Now, 2013, our legislators passed a bill that allows non-citizens to work the polls. So we believe L.A. County created the crisis. Now, we have to finish proving it. This is our – let me just back up and say, we suspect. So until we finish getting all of the documents to prove it, we suspect a crisis was created – so that non-citizens could work the polls. And it certainly appears that in some communities like mine, Santa Clarita, 4 out of 6 of our communities in Santa Clarita Valley was added to a list that was posted on L.A. County's website that were listed as affluent communities unwilling to participate in our own democracy. Which is the farthest thing from the truth because we're networked all over L.A. County. We worked hard in building big teams in L.A. County to observe the polls. But because we were listed as unwilling to participate in our own democracy, they were able to send non-citizens into our polls to work our polls.
Unbelievable. So,
how you fix that? You must start now. Every county, citizens go to their registrar and make a commitment to adopt every poll in your county with citizens. You'll still have to do the county training, but reach out to EIP. We will train you, whether you're an observer or a poll worker or an inspector or a coordinator. We will train you in the law so that you can make sure that the laws are followed in every poll in your county.
So let me get this straight. You have non-citizens that are at the polling place, and now we have illegal immigrants that are registered to vote.
Yes, and here's the problem with this. There is a federal law. This is how smart these progressives are. This has been long in coming. They actually have a strategy, and that's why we the citizens must pull together and have a strategy to fight it. The federal law requires that in order to not disenfranchise voters, this comes back from the 60s, every person, every citizen who applies for a driver's license must be given an application to vote. So that's federal law. So the states have to do that. It's funny, they don't comply with a lot of the other federal laws, but
right.
They do comply with that one. And so this new bill, AB 1461, that was just signed by the governor, that changes our system from an opt-in system where the citizen says, you know, I'm going to vote. I'm going to opt in by filling out an application, and that way I'm going to I'll vote. They changed it to an opt-out system, meaning that when a person registers for a driver's license, that information is automatically sent to the registrars as a voter registration. So we absolutely believe that non-citizens will be manipulated because number one, many non-citizens who are able to get driver's licenses. By the way, the numbers I've heard are between 3 and 5 million non-citizens, both legal and illegal, can get a driver's license in California. Well, most of them don't speak English very well. I shouldn't say most. Those who don't speak English or those who don't understand our laws can be manipulated by someone who is manipulating the system, and that's what we mean by corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got someone who says, okay, fill out the front page and sign it, and they don't mention, oh, and by the way, turn the page over, because on the back you have to answer some questions like, are you a U.S. citizen? Check yes or no. Do you want to register to vote? That's where they get the opportunity to say, no, I'm opting out. I don't want to be registered to vote. If they don't turn that page over, they're automatically registered to vote.
What could go wrong? I mean, and most of these people working at the DMV, they're not Democrats, are they? They don't have government writing them a paycheck, do they? So they would have more interest in having more government in the state of California, would they?
Well, and here's the interesting thing about this bill. The original bill, AB 1461, put in place that the DMV would be in charge of making sure that only citizens were opted in. But the DMV clearly stated they're not capable of doing it.
How could they even check? Yeah, how could they get...
So they said, no, we do not want that responsibility. We can't do it. We can, the regular license, we can make sure that that looks different from a citizen's physical license. But the data that we send to the registrars, we don't have any way to indicate whether it's coming from a citizen or non-citizen. So, no, we don't want to be in charge. So the bill then was adjusted on September 9, 2004. There was an amendment made that basically said, okay, fine, we won't have the DMV do it. We'll have the Secretary of State do it. And so the Secretary of State is now going to be the sole...
Listen, we're going to have to take a break here, Linda, because it's a hard break at the top of the hour. Let's come back and resume where we're at because they're going to cut us off here in a few seconds. But yeah, hold that thought, and we'll come back and talk about the Secretary of State. And gosh, this should be a nonpartisan issue for everybody.
You would think.
So.
Yeah. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Doctors Without Borders is revising the death toll upward in the bombing of a trauma hospital in northern Afghanistan by U.S. forces earlier this month. The international medical charity now says 30 people were killed.
They say the remains of at least 7 people have been found in the remains in the debris of the hospital, and they haven't yet been identified, but they have been buried.
Lynn O'Donnell reporting the bombing happened as Afghan forces with U.S. air support battled to retake Kunduz. Oklahoma investigators are waiting for blood test results today to be sure that drugs or alcohol contributed to a deadly crash yesterday. The crowd watching Oklahoma State University's homecoming parade was plowed into by a car. 3 adults died at the scene, a 2-year-old later, a 25-year-old Stillwater woman arrested on a DUI charge. Education officials are placing new limits on federal student aid administered by struggling for-profit college chain ITT Educational Services.
The move comes after the government found ITT was not complying with previous orders to upgrade its financial controls. The Education Department says ITT failed to properly track the federal grants and loans it distributes to students since at least 2009. ITT schools will now be permitted to pay out federal education funds to students only after they've attended classes and have been certified as eligible by a school representative.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Israeli police say a Palestinian has stabbed an Israeli in the West Bank today, seriously wounding him. The attacker ran away. The search is on. Police also say a female teenager was shot dead today after pulling out a knife while approaching a police checkpoint in the West Bank city of Hebron. These incidents, the latest in weeks of almost daily Palestinian attacks on Israeli civilians. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you've heard Mike Gallagher talk about his mortgage company, then you've heard about Sovereign Lending Group's low 30-year hybrid fixed-rate mortgage loan, 1.75%. That 2.4 APR works on a $300,000 home with at least a 700 FICO score and an 80% loan-to-value. Did you hear that? A fixed-rate mortgage at 1.75%. And as if 1.75% is not enough to get you excited about a refi or buying a new home, get this. SLG Mortgage has a 7-year rate guarantee. If rates drop during the first 7 years of your loan, they'll refi you for free. Now you know why Mike Gallagher is so excited about Sovereign Lending Group. Do you think you've got the lowest rate? Make one more call to SLG Mortgage and they'll beat any competitor's rate. Get in touch with them right now by calling 800-310-1057. That's 800-310-1057. Or you can visit mikeslender.com. Mikeslender.com.
Security officials and witnesses say Islamic militants have stormed a supermarket in Yemen's southern city of Aden today, firing into the air and taking hostages. They say about 30 militants arrived at the supermarket in four pickup trucks. Choppers fled when they heard the gunfire, but an unknown number were trapped inside the facility when the gunmen locked the doors. The witnesses say the militants shouted they were protesting the mingling of men and women in the supermarket. German police sprayed left-wing protesters with water cannon today to keep them apart from an anti-Islam demonstration by a far-right group in western Germany. Some 3,500 police in full riot gear were in Cologne, sometimes stepping in to keep the two groups from fighting. About 10,000 people, including many families waving signs reading "Refugees Welcome," were protesting the demonstration by a group called Hooligans Against Salafists. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Referencing rulings to restrict capital punishment, as well as changing sentiment within the Supreme Court, Justice Antonin Scalia says he would not be surprised to see the court invalidate the death penalty one day.
The issue came up at a University of Minnesota law school appearance as Scalia described his judicial view that the Constitution is an enduring document that should not be open to broad interpretation, while sharing frustration that his colleagues too readily find flexibility in it. Scalia says death penalty decisions from the court have made it practically impossible to impose it, but we have not formally held it to be unconstitutional. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, October 25th, a birthday for some notable people, including former American League president Dr. Bobby Brown. He's 91 years old. Singer and actress Barbara Cook, 88. Basketball Hall of Famer Bobby Knight is 75. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us, left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, you're listening to Sovereign Minds. American, we're in the third hour here. It's a little after 11, and we've been talking to Linda Payne, who, if not related to Thomas Paine, is related in spirit, because the spelling's the same. Is there any relation, just as a curiosity, Linda?
You know, I don't know. We've never really done a search, but wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, you ought to try that sometime. Go to Ancestry.com or something.
Never done it.
Yeah, you know, Tommy Payne was a brilliant man.
Yeah, there could be a direct line. You never know.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Anyway, we're talking about election integrity, which it appears we have none in the state of California. You know, and if it wasn't for you guys as the whistleblower group, this thing would be completely a farce.
Yeah. It would. And I know that sometimes the information we give people can create a fair amount of discouragement and depression. And so, really, I hope to be able to say to people across the state, their efforts have made a huge difference. We are now have requests on state to come to their state and help put in a ground game. True the Vote does a phenomenal job. They're able to do national data work, databases in multiple states, but you see, because California is not compliant with the federal law, we're not really able to be part of that. So we do the research here in California ourselves. And by the way, too, anyone who would like to help with the work that we're doing here, we'd love to have their support if they want to go to electionintegrityproject.com and donate, as we need to purchase, you know, ongoing purchases of data.
So that'd be electionintegrity.com then.
Election Integrity Project.
Okay. Listen, I have another question for you too, Linda. We have the Shasta Lantern up here, and I noticed I was just going through and I saw that an article was posted in the Trinity Gazette on your response to the motor voter law. Is there any way that we can get on your mailing list for posting articles in the Shasta Lantern up here to make sure that we're tracking onto this?
Absolutely. In fact, thank you for asking. We're asking everyone to go to our website and sign up to get our newsletter. We're going to begin really pushing on this AB 1461 with critical information that people can use to put in their newspapers or call radio talk shows. We really need to push hard against this. Even though Governor Brown signed the bill, it's not over yet. We believe there's going to be a constitutional challenge on this bill, and here's why.
How could that be?
We are a republic, as you know. We are not a democracy. This country was founded on the basis of being a republic, meaning it is the legislators are elected by the citizens, and they govern by the consent of the people. A democracy is the basic
mob rule?
It becomes mob rule because it's majority rule, so it's 50 plus 1. Well, the citizens of California did not consent to changing our form of government. By having this automatic opt-in and opening the door for 3 to 5 million non-citizens to become registered to vote and vote, and without fear of prosecution, that's in this bill. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But there is no fear of prosecution if they should inadvertently become registered to vote and vote. So by allowing that, we now have moved from a republic where the governing is by the consent of the people to a different form of government. A basic democracy where it's more along the open borders globalist form, where anybody living in California can vote. So now with this, we have non-citizens who may begin to have a stronger voice than citizens, because non-citizens have one of the strongest lobbies in California, because they have a coalition of organizations that work together and network together to push bills such as this.
Well, we're actually ensured a Republican form of government by our Constitution.
Exactly. And that's what we're saying. The California Constitution and the United States Constitution clearly states that we are a government that is governed by the consent of the people. Now, to file legal action, we need to have attorneys step up. We need constitutional scholars and constitutional attorneys We need to do it now. The citizens of California need to pull together to fund it. EIP, we do not have the kind of funding to do this alone. But this should be an issue that unites all citizens. And it is uniting them in the southern counties, as I'm out speaking everywhere I can. And so is Ruth out of San Diego. And we are seeing, you know, Blue Dog Democrats, these are Americans, and their party has left them. The Democrat Party has been taken over by the globalist progressives, and many Democrats are scared to death. They don't know what's going on, and we've begun reaching out to them, and they are now joining the effort to fight back. We need all citizens to pull together. Every citizen organization in the state, we need to pull together. Meet together, maybe put a strategy together, but we must file legal action immediately to stop this bill from being enacted in January.
Well, for many of us up here in the north, we're done to the point that we're out of here. We want our own free state.
We've been following the state of Jefferson, but until you're actually able to cede, you will be part of the 2016 elections. Is what I'm being told. Is that right?
Yes, we will.
So in that sense, that's what we're asking all citizens who are battling the various issues in the state. On this one issue, we need to pull all of us together, whether it's Common Core, property rights, state of Jefferson, election integrity. This act, through one piece of legislation, has effectively changed our form of government in California.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, these guys, that's what they're doing. It's a takeover. And, you know, progressive is just another word for communism. And, you know, people don't want to say the word communist because it has all these connotations. But the real deal is it's big government takeover. A democracy is basically the rights of the collective. And we hear that from our esteemed commander-in-chief a lot about. It's always about the collective, because once you get the collective overriding the individual rights, then it's easy to control the collective, just like what they're doing now through the giveaways and the bribes and the kickbacks and the life lines to their survival.
Well, here's how we stop it. We have to be able to vote them out of office, whether it's a board of supervisors, a registrar, county registrar, or a legislative Assembly, Senate. We have to be able to meet with them. We have to be able to let them know every single vote that they cast will immediately be provided to their constituency. Now, this is something, you know, that we're learning with what it means to be self-governing.
Right.
See, what we have unlearned how to be self-governing is we've been cowed into believing that we have the election season,
right,
and then the legislative season. Now, during the election season, we're all out there pushing good candidates. Here's what they believe. Here's how they voted. Vote for this person. And we get some good candidates in there, and then once they get into Sacramento or D.C.,
they just change.
You know, they drink the Kool-Aid.
Nobody's holding them accountable. And unfortunately, it seems like in order for us to become real steel, and I mean the metal, we're going to have to be tempered a little bit by fire here, because you got to figure out why you're getting involved, I guess, before you get involved, because otherwise it's too easy just to get caught up in your lives.
I think we have a caller on the line for you, Linda. Billy Bob from Palos Cedros with us. Do you have a question or comment, Billy Bob?
Ask him again.
Billy Bob, you have a question or comment for Linda? Hello.
Hello, am I?
Are you there, Billy?
Hello,
you're on?
Yep, you're on.
Oh, well, thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to give Linda some tremendous accolade and credit for her hard work and this is such a critical aspect of the free world in America that her endeavor, I can't thank her enough for all her hard work. And then again, I don't know, and no one has the answer of why this state and why people in general, I mean all the way around, are so stupid. I don't know, these libtards and these people that think that this country is just going to keep ticking for them without us standing up and protecting our rights and our, alienable rights. And again, Red, your show this morning was great. And, yes, state of Jefferson or do something, but I can't believe where Mayberry went. I don't know where it went. So I'll let you guys go. Thank you again, Linda. Great show, and I appreciate all your hard work.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. All right.
And people do need to understand how critical the fight is, exactly the dynamic of what's going on here. It's cloaked in partisan politics between Republicans and Democrats, and we're in danger of losing the whole show. We're condemning our children and grandchildren to the long night here, people, if we don't wake up.
Well, we talk about, you know, being positive and giving a future and hope to the kids. There is not going to be any of that unless you get involved and start working toward your freedom on a consistent basis, so that you retain your freedom and your rights and your constitutionally guaranteed individual rights that aren't coming from the collective government, because at some point in time, you're going to be the target if you're not careful, just like Irwin Schiff, just like the Indians, just like the black people. I mean, at some point in time, you become the target, and the other people just take all your rights away from you because the government doesn't care who has rights as long as it's controlling everybody's rights. And that is the bottom line.
And there's something out there that you can get involved in, whether it's the elections and the vote. Yeah. I mean, you could be, like Linda said, you could be part of that process. You can sit there and you can make sure that it is being done properly.
You should stick your finger in as many pies as you're capable of handling.
Okay. I'll leave that one alone. Anyway, we got about 10 minutes more here, Linda, and then we're going to have to go to some of our other headlines. So, yeah, you got about 10 minutes to tell us exactly, you know, what you need to get out there if we haven't covered anything
I'm curious, what counties here in the north is EIP active in now already?
We had a team in Shasta in 2012. I think that there were some folks who got trained in 2014, but I think Mike and Patty Smith have done some training up in the counties just above Sacramento, but we need to really reach the far north counties. We didn't have as many people trained up there. Trinity County came down, and here's an example of why. Trinity County folks came down and got some training with Mike and Patty Smith, went back up and observed in the primaries, and it was an eye-opener. It was so astounding that my board was involved immediately with the Secretary of State. It was bad. So we went up, we did even a deeper training with them for the November elections, and they are as bad as LA County.
Mm-hmm.
So we provided all that documentation to the Commission on Civil Rights. So what I would say is, let's set a time, and I'm going to start doing training in January. I'll be driving all over the state again doing training, and I need to coordinate with folks up in the northern counties so we can get solid people trained. We can give you the strategy. You can start to implement it in your counties.
Maybe we can
get you. We are going to use the Election Integrity Project website even more for training. We're going to do online training. So I would say as much as you can, get people to go to the website and sign up to get the email information.
Could we get you to maybe come up to the Tea Party in Reading again and possibly have a training there?
Yeah, we can do it, and we'll coordinate something with you. And also, you'll see on my website, we launched this year the California Legislation Action Hub. Have people sign up there, too. We're just building that. We came to realize as we analyzed bills this year that the second largest lobby in the state is the Lobby for Non-Citizens, and they have a coalition of organizations through Common Cause. Well, the citizens have no coalition, no way to communicate.
How the hell can a bunch of illegals be the biggest lobbying? How can they lobby for anything? They're not even here legally.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so much the non-citizens doing the lobbying. It's those who are making money off of them. We know that non-citizens are being manipulated. There are many of them here on green cards trying to become citizens, and if they end up being added to the voter rolls and voting without their knowledge, that will impact their ability to become a citizen, and they don't even know it. So again, there's one more group of people that are being manipulated by people in positions of power and authority. Well, what we need to do as citizens is be able to communicate across this huge state of ours, and we're going to do that through the California Legislation Action Hub. something we need to do is in January or February, we'd like to pull together a statewide meeting of all citizen efforts, maybe in the center of the state somewhere. So everyone kind of floods in there. We've got some potential venues, but we're going to invite every single citizen effort, whether it's vaccinations, property rights, state of Jefferson, you name it. We need to get together under one roof, and we need to put a strategy in place, and then we need to use that coalition to make our voices louder than the lobbyist special interest groups. And we're going to do that through California Legislation Action Hub. We'll be providing a way for every single organized effort to have a page on that website to get the information out. We've been letting people in the southern counties know about State of Jefferson, and they didn't know about it except for that those of us who do are getting the word out, and that's been our Achilles heel. We don't have a way to network. And I've traveled now in almost 5 years, almost 200,000 miles across the state, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of citizens fighting back, but you would never know it. Because the mainstream media will not talk about it.
Yeah, they block everything out. Yeah.
Our own distribution lists are limited by our own little individual sphere of influence. We have to expand it. But we need to get together in one place and put a strategy in place if we're going to take this state back. And now is the time. We have reached the 11th hour. If this bill is allowed to stand, AB 1461, if they can effectively change California from a republic to a general democracy, every other state will follow. And just as a word of encouragement, we worked with Through the Vote to get the word out nationally, and it's going out nationally. We are now getting calls from other states saying, oh, my gosh, what do we do? They have driver's license for their citizens. So we're able to be that canary in the coal mine to say, you go to your legislative body now and you pass legislation that this will never be allowed in your state. Automatic opt-in without the ability to verify citizenship will never be passed in your state, and do it now, because if you don't, you'll be following California. But we have to stop this in California. This becomes an illegitimate governing body when they pass a bill to change our form of government without the consent of the people.
Boy, that's a mouthful. So
we can do it. We can do it.
Yes,
we got to network and work together.
I agree.
Now we're seeing it in the South, and so I think the whole state can do it if we just make it. If we just make it happen. We get together and make it happen.
Well, that's I think that brings forward a very vital point, and everything that goes with it is they are at the point that they have become an illegitimate government.
Yeah, they're no longer. You know, it reminds me of the movie. I'm trying to think of the movie with The Last of the Mohicans, where the guy's basically saying, I'm not going to live under the yoke of tyranny anymore. I would choose to fight and die before I'd live under the yoke of tyranny. And there's a reason, because if we go that far down the road, and that's where we're at the crossroads here, it's going to get a lot worse than it is now, because we're going to be basically ground down into an economic sinkhole with all this crap that's going on.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, the way that I knew that this was an attempt to change our form of government was because of the training with Center for Self-Governance. I used to teach, before I started doing all this, I used to teach government, and I did not realize that I no longer understood what self-governance and civic engagement meant. Most of us in America think that civic engagement means to make sure we clean up the graffiti and pick up the trash and just make sure we have nice communities. It doesn't. Civic engagement means that we engage our legislators from we engage our legislators at every level of government, from board of water board, all the way up, and we study our constitution. Do you know that the only way to get a California constitution now is you have to go to a legislator and ask for it?
Jeez.
It's no longer carried in bookstores. You can't purchase a hard copy of it from Amazon or anywhere else. You can only get a printed out document. So here's the question. Why are they making it difficult for citizens to get a copy of our state constitution? Constitution clearly says the same words that our federal constitution says, We are committed to a republic that is governed by the consent of the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they want a dumbed-down population who's just going to be herded into the pens. And, you know, Todd on the chat room says, he who, you know, he had a quote here from Thomas Paine, he who dares not offend cannot be honest. And we're finding that out right now with our own congressmen and our own city and local officials. If you say anything against what their programs are, you're branded some kind of a jerk, you know, and you can't be friendly and nice to these guys because they don't care about being friendly and nice. The only thing that they care about is if you expose them to the population and the voters so that you can get them out of there or make the pressure mount against them so hard and so rough that they can't deny that they're the bad guys and they can't stay in their own little bubble, acting like they're doing everything for the good of the people and not themselves. It's absolute insanity.
Yeah, and they don't want us to question them, and they don't want to tell us how they're going to vote on anything. Not until after they vote. Then they'll let you know.
Here's what we do with the California Legislation Action Hub, where we call it, HUB just for short. But we are already getting commitment from citizens who live around Sacramento to go to the floor, vote, to watch them vote, and to document, just like we do with the IP, under penalty of perjury, these legislators, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter anymore because our Republicans are not voting for We the People either.
Yeah.
They're legislators. Yeah. They have to be held accountable. Every year is an election year for them. Every vote is sent out to their constituents. And so that all through the year, every time they vote for tyranny, citizens are encouraged to call and say, hey, what's this all about? And if they vote for liberty, we send that out to and say, thank your legislator.
Right.
They voted for liberty. But where do you get that information when you live far from Sacramento? Well, our folks around Sacramento are going to be going, watching the floor votes, posting it on the California Legislation Action Hub. Here's how this vote on vaccines went down. Here's how they voted, blah, blah, blah. It's in a PDF form. Citizens can download it and then go meet with the legislator and say, you know, we're concerned about this bill. You said you were going to vote no on it. Here's the document. We know you voted yes on it. And you know what? We're not mad at hell anymore. We're just going to continue to educate our constituents. This will go out now to every one of your constituents. And each community is going to have to figure out how to get that out. Is it flyers? Is it robocalls? Is it mailers? Do we walk and knock on doors? But the Center for Self-Government, that's who taught us how to do this. And that's what we're doing down here in L.A. County. If we can do it in L.A. County, you can do it in any county. But we've begun now meeting with our Board of Supervisors just with critical information that we now know that we've documented and just letting them know that their actions on
are getting scrutinized. Yeah, they're being scrutinized.
Yeah, and it just goes out. We just give it out. We just get it out to the constituents. See, when during the legislative time frame, that's 2, 4, 6 years, they are not worried about We the People because nobody knows how they're voting. And then the election year, all of a sudden everyone's pounding the pavement and people are inundated with good guy, bad guy. But what if citizens were involved in self-governance and every time their representative voted, they got a phone call or a flyer or something that said, here's how your legislator or your rep voted. Give them a call and let them know what you think about it. Now what happens is before they pull that lever to vote for tyranny, they know that it's going to go out to their constituents right after they vote.
Well,
that's how we're going to do it.
Good. I mean, that's a great plan. I mean, clearly the fox has been watching the hen house. And now, we've got to start watching the hen house is what it comes down to at every level of government. I totally agree with you because that's why they've been getting away with it. Nobody ever calls them to task. And you have to have a big enough voice calling them to account, or they don't even care what you have to say. And they just brand you, as some kind of vexatious, participant in a self-governance that, they should be in charge of. And you're just, you're a peon.
Right. And both parties are guilty. So this is no longer a partisan issue. This is a self-governance issue.
Yep.
We the people need to make sure that we are giving consent to the way our legislators are voting, and not just during election year, throughout the year. Now, are we all going to be exhausted? We are. We're going to be exhausted till we during the learning curve, where each community figures out how to do that. But we must rise to this occasion.
Well,
we're seeing a difference in L.A. County. We're seeing Board of Supervisors getting nervous because they're the ones pushing Dean Logan, registrar voter here. They got him. He was let go from Washington State on corruption, and here he was brought to L.A. County, and here we have corruption. So we're now not flapping and twirling. We're not screaming and yelling. We're not mad as hell not going to take it anymore. We're sitting across from them at in their offices, providing them with critical information, asking critical questions, and then taking action on informing their constituents. We're learning how to do county-level initiatives to force the cleanup of deceased in L.A. County. Every single county can learn how to do this. So the first thing you want to do up in the northern counties, you got to get Center for Self-Governance up there, start getting the training so you're all learning how to control your legislators. And then somewhere in January, we've got to pull every citizen group in the state together for a meeting under one roof.
Well, let's get her done.
And with that, we actually have a listener that has a question for you. Todd in Butte County, are you with us?
I'm here.
You have a question for Linda?
Yeah, well, it's written right into the California Constitution that all elected officials and board members have to take an oath of office. And what I don't understand is there's no penalty for them violating their oath of office except for a political take it to the ballot box. How come the oath of office isn't written into the California Penal Code? I think it'll solve a lot of problems in the political arena if it was made a crime to violate your oath of office. And some
Give you an answer to that, because once upon a time, that is what I would have also said. But the reason it's not written in as a penal code is because the corruption extends in California to the judicial branch, the legislative branch, law enforcement. I mean, we are inundated with corruption. So it goes back to the citizen, self-governance. The way when someone takes an oath of office and they break that oath of office, who gives them the penalty? The citizens give them the penalty. We remove them from office. We pay attention that they have broken that oath of office, and we take action. We meet with them across the board. You broke your oath of office. By the way, we're going to let your constituents know. We've learned the biggest fear that legislators have is that their constituents know what they're doing. That's it. Self-governance.
Yep.
We, as a community, must inform the citizens in their districts as to what they're doing. And all of a sudden now, they're a little more careful about what they're doing because they know their constituents are going to be informed the minute they do it, for the good and the bad. But that's why doing it in the penal code won't help. Citizen self-governance is what will make the difference.
Yeah, because if you have it
thanks
in the penal
code. Thanks for calling in, Todd.
Yeah, thanks, okay. Todd. Because if you have it in the penal code, basically, who's gonna report them if nobody's watching them in the first place?
And you got the fox watching the hen house again.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Over 4.5 years, the Election Integrity Project has given many names to DAs in several counties.
Right.
Nothing was done.
Yeah, because
we proved that the laws were broken, but the DA sat on it. Why? Because they're going to run for judge. Nobody wants to touch it because they want to move up the line.
Yep.
It's become corrupted.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, it's just like the whole deal on the president's birth certificate. There's some vital information in some of that stuff that nobody will touch. The media, nobody will even look into it, regardless of whether it's factual or not, because they're all in the same tank together. They're all looking to get high, you know.
They want to go higher.
They
want
to get up the ladder. You know, I'm not saying there's any truth to it at all, other than, but nobody will even look into it because it's the same type of thing. You actually show or prove something that is wrong or a law that's being broken, and the good old boy network just takes over, and they never charge anybody with anything.
That's, you know, when we went after our own congressional representative and called him out on some of his votes, you would think we were Judas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You anarchist. You malcontent.
That's the question.
You don't get it. You're not smart enough. You're dumb. You know, you don't trust them. You know, they come up with all of this crap to try to paint you as some kind of a, exception to the rule that everybody's going in lockstep with the guy. And the real deal is these guys are just hiding their votes from most of the people, don't understand that they're even voting for some of this stuff or the repercussions of it. And if you call them on the carpet, they'll out and out lie about the fact of how the vote is actually going to affect the population.
And this is why we've learned how to fight this fight. When we fight the fight in the courts or in the media, we are fighting on their turf. They control the media. They control the message. The courts are corrupted. So we have to fight it on our turf. Well, what is our turf? The California Constitution and the federal Constitution says our turf is the citizens. Consent of the citizen. Well, how do the citizens consent? Well, we have to be involved at every single level of governance.
Yeah.
And that's why we've been losing. We have not been fighting on our own home turf. We keep fighting the battle on the progressive turf where they control the message and they control people's careers in law enforcement and legislative branch and judicial branch. We begin to win when we learn how to control our elected officials. That's kind of the most simplistic way to say it, but it is how it works. We're a unique government governed by the consent of people. We just haven't learned how to give consent or take it away. Until now.
I understand. Linda, listen, we've got to go to a break, and we've got Paul Preston on the other line, so we're going to have to let you go, but let's stay in contact.
Definitely.
And let's get this thing done before January. Let's get it set up. Let's do...
Yeah, keep us in the loop so we know what you're going to be setting up in January, so maybe we can get something going up here in the North State and pull together on it.
I'll send you an email or email my sister, however you want to keep in touch here, and let's get it done.
Okay, best way to do it. We need to build our distribution list. We're moving to a different way to do it. So everyone you know, send them to the website, get signed up on that distribution list, and tell people when they forward out their email, remove the little unsubscribe link at the bottom. That's how people are getting unsubscribed. When they forward it out, someone gets it, and they think, oh, I don't want to get it. They click unsubscribe, but they've unsubscribed the person who sent it. So all of a sudden, we're losing people from our...
Okay.
Okay, so that's sign up at the Election Integrity Project website?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right, very
good. All right, well, thank you again, Linda, for coming on, and we will be talking to you in the future.
Very good. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks. Wow, that was a lot of information she gave us.
Well,
yep. In hope of different things that we can do.
Makes me want to keep it California even more.
Well, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back with Paul Preston here. He's on the line waiting.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. I want the world to the dark side of the moon. After all, I knew it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then. As long as you'll be
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
From the moment you walk into Walgate Sports Club, you realize this is more than just a gym. You immediately notice the white glove cleanliness and the friendly, caring staff whose words and actions speak to the pride they have in making Walgate Sports Club Redding's premier lifestyle center. Wellgate Sports Club promises an upscale experience with high-end amenities and programs including a complete state-of-the-art workout facility, educated and credentialed personal trainers and lifestyle nutrition coaches who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Wellgate Sports Club features Redding's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Combine that with our complimentary lifestyle education workshops and member social events, and you'll see why at Wellgate Sports Club you'll experience exceptional every day. Get out of the gym and into the club. Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way in Redding. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Wellgate Sports Club, first-class fitness you have to see to believe.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Yes, I'll admit. Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Aerosmith, pretty good stuff.
That'll make anybody feel better.
Yeah, so we've got about 15 minutes left, and we have an extra special guest on the line with us, Paul Preston. Hey, this is a real switch. You're on my radio program this time, Paul.
Yeah, what's wrong with that picture?
I'm in charge. I see nothing wrong.
Okay, then. I'm at your will here.
So what's really going on out there, Paul?
Well, what's really going on is the New World Order's in town, and I guess we're all supposed to get used to it, give up our guns, and turn ourselves over to Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama and Loretta Lynch and the whole UN Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030 crew. you know, give up your property, give up everything. It's all happening. It's all going down. The one world order is here.
What does it really matter, Paul? What does it really, why does it really matter?
What guess, difference does it make?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make at this point? Well, you know, I guess we're just all supposed to lay and roll over when, they tell us to bark, but, I think that that's going to be a little bit difficult for them in the long run. But this is all coinciding, of course, with the Pope and the President coming together, go figure, on the environment. The Pope now worships the environment more than God, I guess. And so we're in for some changes here in the United States. It's already starting to happen.
Yeah, kneeling, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's kneeling for us Americans, that's just kind of a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Kind of a problem.
So the Pope, what does he become, an environmental communist whack job or what? What's going on with that?
I think he always was.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what order you want to place that. But he, he's certainly an environmentalist. He's been taking in all the algorithms and everything, and he's worshiping Mother Gaia at this point, which is unfortunately...
Mother Gaia? What the heck's Mother Gaia?
Mother Gaia is Earth worship, and... Wow. That's what the environmentalists worship. That's the alternative God to God is Mother Gaia.
Wow.
And that's what the Pope is worshiping right now.
So he's got
professing one religion for earth worship is what he's doing.
Well, I thought that the Catholics were supposed to think Jesus was Lord and Savior, not Gaia. I mean, what's up?
Well, you know, I think maybe the Pope might want to try and explain that to the Catholics in general. You know, because... my family's Catholic. I've got, half of my family's Catholic, and they're a little confused at this point, as I'm sure most American Catholics are. And it's something, you have to be confused when the Pope and the Obama are on the same page as everything, from the economy, from the one world order business, to fighting radical Islamic terrorists, to the environment. I mean, everybody's got to be confused by that when the two of them are seeing eye to eye.
Well, I was really confused when I noticed that the Pope was carrying around a hammer and sickle cross that was presented to him in Venezuela, I believe.
That was the Bolivian president.
Oh, Bolivia, I'm sorry. Yeah.
With a crucifix that was emblazoned upon quite a large hammer and sickle.
Out of pure gold,
which was pretty amazing.
Oh, out of pure gold! Wow. Yeah. So they do. Yeah, so gold amazing. Isn't. So gold isn't maybe such an archaic relic that they all profess it to be, while the rest of the world is running into gold and silver right now because they know there's an imminent currency collapse. So maybe the Vatican is stacking up some extra coin because they know what's coming too. Because that's what happens when you have a central bank and it prints money out of thin air and you worship the god Gaia.
Well, I guess you can say this is the second coming of the Vatican to the New World. Of course, 1492 with Cristobal Colom or Christopher Columbus, if that's how you want to pronounce it, came to the New World and, you know, scrounged every bit of gold out of everybody and took it back to the Catholic Church. Now he's returned. The Vatican, the Pope, has returned to the New World and wants more plunder. That's really what it comes down to. And I say that because you take a look at what they're trying to do with immigration, and that's a gold mine in and of itself, the new immigration process that we have that's infecting our southern borders. That's a pretty big deal because you think about the number of churches, and especially the Jesuit order of the Catholic Church, that are going to get billions of dollars, billions with a B, thank you, Mr. President Barack Hussein Obama, for their immigration services as these new immigrants, especially from Central and South America, flood across our borders. They have to be housed and fed and so on.
Then they just go down to the California DMV, apply for a driver's license, and we have a new form of government.
That's right, and Jerry Brown's assuring that. Of course, Jerry Brown, the Jesuit Jerry Brown, a lot of people don't know that he was raised a strong Jesuit.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Jesuit school for most of his primary education. The
thing is, too, is, you know, people should ask, why doesn't Jerry have a hard time drawing the line between being a hardcore Jesuit Catholic and an environmental moonbat? Maybe it's because they're the same thing anymore.
Well, you see, that's just it. You know, Jerry Brown is aligned with the Pope and the President, and in terms of all his thinking, in terms of immigration. Of course, the immigration is the same for the Pope and the President and Jerry Brown. So you can see there's a threefer, I guess, going
on. What exactly is a Jesuit, Paul? We hear that term all the time. What? Yeah, maybe you can explain that. What makes a Jesuit a bad person?
Well, I wouldn't say the Jesuits are bad people per se, but the Jesuits actually were given rise in the 1500s as a result of a guy by the name of Martin Luther, who was creating the Reformation starting in 1511. You know, that's just right after Christopher Columbus, as you know, found the New World. And he was, you know, the whole, I'm going to give a very quick synopsis here, and I know the people are in church right now, so they're not hearing me as much, but, and they might contest some of the issues here, and I understand it, but I'm being very brief. The Jesuits were formed basically because the Protestants, being given rise from Martin Luther in Germany, were rejecting the popes and the papacies, basically money grabbing of and tributes that they had to pay, and they rejected that on whole. And as a result, this whole movement of the Reformation started to grow. So as an offshoot of that, as a response to that, they formed the Jesuit Order in 1550, I think it was, 1540 or 1550, as basically the army of the Pope to enforce the tributes and also to put down any resurrection by the so-called, quote, Christians,
so,
because they were throwing off the rejecting the papacy and becoming Christians outright without the Catholicism.
So what you're telling me is the Jesuits are kind of like the IRS of the Vatican. I mean, they were basically the tax collectors.
Well, they actually are known as the Soldiers of Christ, and not many people know this, but they have their own Pope, the Black Pope.
I don't know about the Black Pope.
Uh-oh, yeah, we're getting deep.
I don't know about the Black Pope. Is he like, hey, what's up, bro, Black Pope, or is he just wearing black robes?
Whereas the White Pope, as most people know, the Pope would be the spiritual leader of the Catholic Church. The Black Pope would be the general of the Soldiers of Christ, which is the Jesuit order, which are willing to do anything and everything to protect and ensure the tribute to the Catholic Church.
Wow. And that's why the Vatican, you got to wonder a little bit, how did the Vatican get to be its own country over there in Europe? And gosh, do they have any money? Are they rich? Where does all this money come from?
Well, they're rich. And of course, they've, you know, the Catholic Church has intervened pretty much in every country of the world. And they're very, very powerful. They're very, very influential. And they've certainly had their issues with their totalitarian behavior through the Jesuits and other groups such as, well, Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist. A lot of people don't understand that it was the rise of the Jesuits and the Catholic Church per se. Now, I'm not saying Catholics in America, there's a big separation, big difference and distinction, who gave rise to Adolf Hitler and supported him in the 20s and 30s. And people don't know that history because we don't teach it very much. Plus, it's also been suppressed from history books, and it's a lesson people need to start understanding, because now we're starting to see these kind of things prop up in modern times. And, in fact, it was Hitler and other totalitarians who were calling for a one-world order, and so does the Pope. And what we're seeing right now through Agenda 2030 is, guess what, that one-world order. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have wondered, you know, gosh, you know, the way Obama behaves, he's very Hitlerian.
So the Pope is actually documented calling for a one world order?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's this whole issue that he's got with the encyclical all about, which is through environmentalism.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He actually wrote a papal decree calling for redistribution of the wealth under the church as the one world bank to redistribute the wealth.
That's correct.
So, now we've connected the One World Bank to the Vatican.
Oh, well, the One World Bank grew out of the Vatican during the 30 Years' War, which was a direct result of the Reformation and the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church needed money to fight the Protestants. You want to know who their banker was out of Austria and the Habsburgs? It's a little Jewish guy named Rothschild.
Oh, well, that connects it.
That's where Rothschilds actually got
started. I didn't realize there was any connection to the Catholic Church, because I always kind of research on the financial side of things. But, man, that kind of explains some things, doesn't it? Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you can connect the dots all the way around. You see what's happening is that the One World Order folks have decided with this 2030 agenda, which they're calling for, in which they adopted, by the way, the same day that the Pope came and visited the United Nations, go figure. In fact, they were just concluding their meeting, their summit, if you will, on a 2030, and they adopted the draft document of the 2030 document, which is basically an acceleration of Agenda 21 over 20 years. So 2030 means they want to establish the One World Order by 2030. So now they've got to up it up. You know, they got to move it up and they got to accelerate things, and that's why you're seeing this president push so hard on various issues. Now, you have the Cities Policing Summit, or not summit, but program, that Loretta Lynch popped on the United Nations on the Monday following the Pope's visit. And this is something that was a complete surprise to everybody. In fact, she put out a press release Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday morning she went and spoke to the United Nations as a representative of the president. Wait a minute, there's something wrong with that picture. The Attorney General is representing the president to the United Nations. And she agreed that the United States would become involved with the United Nations community policing system, and in essence committing many cities and communities that have police forces here in this country to commit to our police forces in those cities to become part of the United Nations police force.
I challenge anybody right now to just type in and go to a www.agenda-2030.com and take a look at what they got to say. They don't tell you how they're going to do all these high lofty goals, and everything looks great and everybody's going to be fine.
Right.
But it also tells me when I see this that they're not getting their goals achieved as fast as they would like, because didn't we out with Kyoto 2015, and then it was Agenda 21, now we're at Agenda 2030, and it seems like there's all kinds of roadblocks that are cropping up in the way that these guys are having problems with, because, their goal number one is end poverty in all forms everywhere. That's why we'll fund ISIS and do all these other things that just kill people. That's going to how we're going to end poverty, I guess, right? Anyway, we're out of time.
Yep, we're at the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off. But thanks for coming on, Paul. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you're going to be at the tea party tomorrow night at 6 p.m., correct?
I will be, and we'll be talking about Benghazi, and also Agenda 2030.
Very good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
You were born an original. Right. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
He says that the Black Lives Matter movement should not be supported.
I don't believe that that movement should be justified when they're calling for the murder of police officers.
Christie made those remarks this morning in an interview on CBS's Face the Nation. Police have identified one of two suspects in a shooting in the parking lot of a Northern California shopping center that left one man dead and another wounded. Livermore police say that a warrant has been issued for the arrest of Oakland resident Jason Alexander Brown on murder and attempted murder charges. Police say that he is considered armed and dangerous. Authorities are investigating a shooting at the South Carolina State Fair that left a teenager injured.